League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Ah, that's too far. He goes on a swinging strikeout. That's six for Yusei.
There we go. A little delay on the Lisa Loeb.
Oh, yeah. Third time Casas has been called out on strikes. I love it. And Joe Espada says 5 1/3, 5 2/3. That's enough. As Yusei will be lifted here.
Nice outing for Yusei Kikuchi again. Still not quite able to get into the sixth inning. It always feels like 5 2/3 is about as far as he'll ever go, but he did give the Astros 5 2/3. He only allowed one earned run because there were some bad moments from the Astros defensively, and then Taylor Scott came in and was unable to seal the deal for Kikuchi there. But seven strikeouts, struck out his last two batters faced, six hits helping the Astros stay around long enough for them to ultimately get a 5-4 walk-off win, their 11th win in their last 12 games. Now five games ahead of the Seattle Mariners in the American League West and a season best 12 games over 500. I thought that he said something interesting after the game through his very young-looking translator, who I'm not convinced is over 18. Not an issue. He just looks very young.
He does look very young.
He looks very young.
He does know the game, though, because I love when he was at the mound yesterday. He was covering his mouth so no one could pick up what they were saying. I like that.
That's smart. Okay. He knows that some people are looking for any chance they can possibly get. And he came to an organization that might be known for that. So in the write-up, it talks about Kikuchi, the pitches that he used. He threw the four-seam fastball 40 out of 99 pitches, 14 changeups, 10 curveballs, slider 35 times. And I thought it was interesting hearing Kikuchi say this because we've talked about some of the other pitches that he has been heavily relying on in previous starts since joining the Astros. I was able to use the slider to get ahead, pitch in hitters counts too. I think that resulted in them being off balance and hitting ground balls. Ever since I came here to Houston, the emphasis has been on throwing the slider. I think that helps. Was it the curveball in the first outing that we heard?
I think it was the changeup.
Maybe it was the changeup. Yeah. I get confused because I know it's Ronald Blanco's changeup. It's Hunter Brown's sinker and or two-seam fastball. But once again, it feels like whatever the Astros are telling a pitcher, it's resonating there. And I feel like the Astros are going to be able to get a favorable deal with Yusei Kikuchi in the offseason. Do I think that they should go and make it happen? I still don't know. I feel like what we're going to learn about Yusei Kikuchi in his next start against Baltimore with that four-game series in Baltimore coming up, and on top of that, potentially seeing him in a series against
probably Kansas City.
Kansas City, right? Yeah. Like that's where I feel like we're going to feel a lot better before the postseason begins about maybe having him stick around for one more year. The postseason's going to mean the most, but...
But that's a good start. Like, if he goes out there and pitches well against Baltimore and Kansas City...
Yeah, I mean, because then...
It's a great start.
The last month of the year, the Astros really do have a cupcake buffet. So if they get through these upcoming tough games against Baltimore and Philadelphia and Kansas City, things are going to be looking very good for them. But just something to keep in the back of your mind. I'm not going as far as you and saying, hey, I want to give Kikuchi an extension, but I am in favor of them trying to find a way to convince him that this is the best place for him to pitch. They understand how he works better than anywhere. And obviously this team wins. So maybe he'd be willing to take a little bit less money.
And you would think that at some point, Paul, people, players, agents that see pitchers come into this organization and flourish and then leave and struggle, just at the bullpen this year. Maton has not had a great year. Neris has been DFA'd. Stanek has not been good. He's been a disaster since he was traded to the Mets. You see these guys leave, and they don't often have the same success. So it's what you're saying. At some point, you would think, hey, maybe I take a little bit less money, stay in Houston. I'm going to have more personal success, which could lead to more money down the road. It can lead to potentially winning championships or being in contention for championships versus going elsewhere. You would think that that will help the Astros keep these guys, because I am pro keep Kikuchi right now. I think your point is very valid, that if he struggles in the playoffs, if he struggles against the Orioles and against the Royals, and this is a little bit more smoke and mirrors than it looks like right now, then you definitely reevaluate it. But he's pitched very well. It is interesting that they've gone from the changeup to the slider to be what they're emphasizing the most. But that also just shows the intelligence of the front office, of the coaching staff, of the catchers, that as they're, you know, learning more about this guy, is what is more effective for him. And that'd be nice if, like, the, you know, the defense helped him out a little bit. He should have got through six innings in his last two starts, at least the six innings in his last two starts, or through six innings, because in the previous start he got 5 2/3, Altuve botched the ball, and then they yanked him. And then this start, you had all the errors happened while he was on the mound, and led to 99 pitches and not being able to finish six innings. So help the guy out a little bit. Come on.
I like what I'm seeing to this point. I really want to see more. I saw Leah Van, the person that everyone tried to cancel before she started her job with Kron, had this tweet. NHK, the Japanese public broadcasting station, will be televising the Astros game live for the first time. They televise 200 Major League Baseball games a year, but mostly the Dodgers. This will be the first time Japanese fans will see Yusei Kikuchi pitch live in an Astros uniform. I went online and I spent way too much time
trying to find it
because there's nothing that I like better than the foreign calls of baseball.
They're usually pretty good.
Yeah, we've played in the past calls from the Korean Baseball League. I think that we have also played calls from Japan. I'm not sure for who. I just feel like there's a lot more energy, and while I don't know what's necessarily being said, it just sounds a lot more fun. And I don't know, maybe it's because I watched Tokyo Vice on HBO, or it's because I watched Shogun.
But it's your vibe?
Yeah, I mean, I am an expert on Japan because I watched both of those shows. And as someone who watched those shows, I'd also like to have the option, while watching a Yusei Kikuchi start for the Astros, to have Japanese play-by-play.
That'd be very fun. I feel like you probably play them for when they won the World Series, because I feel like that's typically when we hear them the most, is when you get the Japanese calls.
I think it was either that or the World Baseball Classic.
Yes.
When that Japan and the U.S. played.
That was it.
That was a lot sense of Ohtani stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and you know, so this is good marketing for the Astros if they're going to be on there more. If they're going to start carrying these games, there are always players coming over from Japan that are getting deals that, ooh, might be too rich for Jim Crane.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So that's part of the problem.
Jim Crane's not going to pay the whatever it is, the transfer fee, the finder's fee, that it seems like you have to get a player from Japan. He'd rather raid the Caribbean.
Yes, where it's, you know, $500,000.
It is cheaper.
It's,
well, I mean,
it's $500,000 less to get Ronald Blanco.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be perfectly honest. It's an absolute effing mess down there, which is why there's such a mass migration heading north. You know, like Venezuela's president, with the home of Jose Altuve. You see what's going on there? Holy crap. If you haven't, go look for yourself. It is a mess down south. That's all we're saying. So when it's a mess in certain countries and you're a baseball owner who has taken advantage of the mess down south, well, it's a little more advantageous to sign a guy who is playing in a country that's falling apart as opposed to signing a guy from Japan.
Sorry, $5,000 for Ronald Blanco.
That's it. Good God.
Yeah, I was going to say, normally they, like, I think Fromber was like 10 grand.
It's
like,
it's crazy. And you see these guys coming over from Japan, and they're getting who's the pitcher from the Dodgers? He got a 10-year contract.
Yeah, he got
before
like,
ever pitching a game in Major League Baseball.
$300 million, I would say.
The guy for the Red Sox who hit a home run last night.
Oh yeah, Yoshida.
Too. That guy got a huge his team got a huge payment. And he's like a very middle of the road player. He's very average. And they paid a ton of money for that guy. It's expensive.
Junior Bronco wants to know, do you watch anime, Paul?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
DBZ.
I miss DBZ.
And Attack on Titan. Those are the only two I've ever watched, but I really enjoy Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball, and Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan was very good.
Dragon Ball Z was like my go-to growing up.
Who was your favorite character?
Gohan.
Oh, come on.
What?
Gohan.
I liked.
Gohan's lazy. He didn't work hard enough.
You know what? You are right about that.
He's super lazy, soft boy. Like, oh, he only fights well when somebody beats up his family.
But, yeah, hey, you know what? Stands up for, he's a family man.
He is a family man, that's for sure. So. You know, and that's honestly more important. Goku's a deadbeat dad.
That's a fact.
People don't talk about that nearly enough. Goku is one of the worst dads in the history of the world, even though he's a fictional Japanese character. Vegeta, great dad. Now, he did try to kill everybody a lot and
yes.
did a lot of bad things, but Vegeta, great father and a hard worker.
Lone Ranger, just call me a beta for that take.
Damn, dude.
That's tough.
That hurts. That hurts. That's bad. Perhaps a little bit too far into anime talk here, so let's talk about, you know.
Thought this was a sports show,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, they talk about sports. Yeah. Don't be talking about no country who attacked us in 1941. Don't be talking about that. Wait, I don't forget. All right, fine.
Hector Neris is available. Why not?
Go for it.
Why not?
They should sign him. I don't think there's really any question. Like, what you've seen from the bullpen this year, the bullpen's been solid for most of the year. Josh Hader has obviously been incredible in save situations. Presley's on the 15-day IL. I don't, because it's a back injury, I think it would be a mistake for the Houston Astros organization to assume he's back in 15 days. I know they said yesterday, Joe Espada said that he's already feeling better, but it's still a back injury. And Neris is better than Caleb Ferguson, a lot better last year. So bring him in. Take a flyer on him. This is not Maldonado being DFA'd by the White Sox, who's not playing baseball. Hector Neris is going to be signed to a playoff team this season to make a push.
And they loved him in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we talked about a little bit earlier this segment how maybe it'll be a little bit more favorable for the Astros to try to bring back Yusei Kikuchi. I mean, I think it would be very favorable for the Astros to bring back Hector Neris, unless there are some hard feelings, perhaps, about negotiations between he and the team. From what I remember, because he was a free agent for a while, a very long time this past offseason, I feel like he might have been asked about a return to the Astros. And I think he sounded like he wanted to actually come back. So maybe they moved on from him. I don't know why they would have. But
I guess this, the price tag, just that's what it is.
At this moment in time, come on. This is finding a $20 bill in your couch.
Exactly. And if you lose it, oh, well, like, because it's found money. If you bring him in.
I'd be mad if I lost it, though.
Yeah, maybe it's not 20 bucks.
$5. I mean, $1 doesn't matter anymore. Thanks, Biden. Yeah.
I mean, what can you do with that? You can't even get, like, a cheeseburger from McDonald's.
You can't even get a drink from our terrible vending machine here.
Was it like $1.50 for all of
Yeah, it's all it's all almost $2. What are we doing here?
That's tough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just what's the worst case scenario? He's terrible.
He gets canceled for getting in someone's face again and saying something homophobic.
Oh, well, bad press for the Astros.
His jerseys will probably be the most popular jersey in baseball if Jaron Duran is anything to base off of it.
That's a good point.
He does that again.
Yeah, just bring him back. Unless for some reason the Baltimore Orioles are like, hey, we'll give you $3 million for the rest of the year, which is unrealistic. It's a 6-week contract plus the playoffs. Bring him in. See if he's got any juice left. And what if he does? If he does, then you go into the playoffs where if you can get Hector Neris of last year or close to last year, so you have Neris, Scott, Presley, Abreu, Hader. You have five guys that you could reasonably trust on in the playoffs. Then all you need to do is ask your starters to give you five innings. And if they give you anything more than that, then it's just candy.
It's just candy.
It's just candy.
A piece of candy. Yeah, I mean, I trust Neris more than anybody else that the Astros have in the bullpen to go up against lefties. And I'm not going to act like I know this is the guy that you need to use in these specific matchups. Like, I'm not going to act like I know any of that stuff. I just know that this was the guy that Dusty Baker used against lefties and it seemed to work out pretty well. From the 346, am I wrong for thinking Latin players have the best bat flips? Alternatively, American players have the best swings, like Ken Griffey Jr., Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, and Al Holler. That's from Lawrence Inside Stafford. What? Why are you laughing?
Nothing.
It's from Lawrence Inside Stafford. He sent Lawrence. That text in. First off, I don't see race. I don't see color. I don't hear accents. I'm really, when it comes down to it, the most open-minded person in the history of the world. However, if I were to see race or ethnicities or things like that, I would say that the best swing is 100% by Japanese and Korean players.
Shohei Ohtani's swing is beautiful.
They have such a cool swing. Why don't we? I mean, we are a country that likes to do things because they look cool. Why has nobody in the United States of America started to try and swing a baseball bat like Japanese players, like Korean players do?
But Jordan's is pretty sick. King of Switch points out Juan Soto has both. I agree. I mean, but the best bat flip in the game right now is John Singleton, isn't it? I don't.
It's so undeserving.
But they're electric every single time he does it.
He does it so often. I don't like it, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
I don't dislike it enough to have someone throw at him. I just feel like you should be hitting. You should have an OPS that's north of average. You should have a batting average that's north of the league median, if you will.
Yeah, he would get he probably would get thrown at if he hit more home runs, so because he would do it all the time. But since they're more, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks kind of a thing, I love them. They're electric.
They are fun. But then I look at his average and I'm like, why? Come on, man.
Now, yeah, to your point, like if Jake Myers started bat flipping like that, huge problem.
Why Jake Myers?
And Chas McCormick.
But why the two white guys?
Because they stink.
Racist.
And they suck. They're not good.
I'm not going to go that far.
They're no bueno.
What does that mean?
Not good.
I don't speak Spanish either, even though I take Duolingo.
Well, I was like, liar. 94 straight days? This is going to be really weird if I get this right, because I feel like you said 93 yesterday. I remember
you still at 93. I haven't done it
yet. Oh, okay. So I will be right.
Theoretically. I have a streak freeze. I don't have to do it today.
Mm. What does that mean?
Gosh, you're so uncultured. hating on white players who theoretically might have a bat swing or a bat flip someday. Unbelievable.
Yeah. You see,
Chas McCormick can't do it.
What's a streak freeze?
Jake Myers can't do it. No. You don't get to change the subject, Mr. The whites.
I have a follow-up question. What's a streak freeze? It sounds soft.
It's when you forget to go on the app and your streak stays going.
Oh, that's I know. That's soft.
The streak is so... Duolingo is such a BS app. It really is.
That's a soft thing. They got to get rid of that.
It's just a mulligan?
Yeah. Essentially, yeah. You have to spend your currency on it.
So they made it... Oh, my God. They made it with, like, in-game transactions.
Yeah. People are calling me a hypocrite because I can't hear accents or see color or ethnicities because I do an Irish one. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never spoken with an accent in my life. That was Joe every single time.
What? I get blamed for everything now.
Yeah, I know. And I just want to see how much I can get away with. Clearly, I can't get away with much. He is Joe. I am Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. The Astros own the Red Sox. 7 straight wins. Do they own the Red Sox more than they own any other quasi-contender in baseball? We'll discuss. Stick around.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
713-780-3776 is how you call, it's how you text. We have, Sully from Somerville is calling in. Sully?
Yeah, kid, this is Sully in Somerville. First off, Joe George, with your f***ing King's last name, f*** you.
Oh, wait, hang on.
Did I say you could talk? Shut the f*** up. Second, Gallant, you fruitcake, f*** you. Can you two losers answer a serious question? Does Yiner Diaz even have a green card? How the f*** does he get to play in last night's game? We should build a wall on the border in your state, and you guys let this guy in here to hit a home run off my Red Sox. F*** you, and f*** your city, too.
Well, that's very on-brand for a Bostonian.
Sully.
A lot of racism.
A lot. And anger. I mean, I can't. They got to have people in Boston with two first names. I can't, you know, I can't be like a. There's got to be people like me in Boston. Sully, that was really mean.
They think.
Go land a plane. Okay?
That's a New York man.
Oh, damn it. You're right.
But there was a guy named Sully who landed a plane in the Hudson River. That was a noble act by that, Sully. I think he just. He's an Irish person, okay? Someone who has the Irish curse, self-loathing, constant guilt from being a Catholic. And on top of that, you know, we've got the curse, if you will. And these people, because they see your last name, Joe, they see that your last name is an English name.
That's not true.
George, yeah, George is an English name. Yeah.
There was an O on it.
I know, but now there isn't.
Well, that's not my fault.
I think it is.
No. That's the people.
Change it back.
That's the people of Ellis Island's fault.
So it was George O?
Oh, George.
Man, you should bring it back.
Just bring it back?
Although it is a little embarrassing if you're Oh, George.
That's why it doesn't work with Joe.
You're like, oh, and then the name of the king. It's like, okay, well, we're still subject to the tyranny of the British crown.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than, you know, being like a Canadian at this point. But yeah, like, I understand, you know, but I'm Irish.
Yeah.
I have the tat to prove it.
Oh, you got the shamrock tat?
I do.
You would fit right in Boston.
I probably would.
You would.
Except for the racist part.
Okay.
Because I know a lot of stuff gets put on me on this show. I want to distance myself from that one ahead of time.
No, Joe just hates white people.
Joe, not racist. Can't confirm.
He's just ashamed of who he is. But it's fine. Hey, it's okay. We all are, you know, we all have our demons.
You're right. Sully, you're a jerk.
Yeah, man. Sully in Somerville. We haven't heard from him in a year. Glad to see he's, you know, crawled out of a Sam Adams bottle.
Ooh, I do love Sam Adams, though.
Yeah, again, you'd fit in Boston. You'd be one of the tallest. You'd be one of the tallest people there.
If I was single,
you'd clean up.
You said they're all ugly, right?
Well, yeah, Boston 10, a Houston 5.
Oh, then I'm good.
Yeah,
hard pass.
But and they've got such attitude too. It's easy hunt.
Yeah,
a little Boston lingo there.
Yeah, I don't need to be like getting yelled at every day for nothing. So I'm good with Houston then.
You wouldn't be into Blake Lively's character in The Town?
Oh.
Who the FBI agent played by John Hamm is clearly trying to bang?
He 100%
it's so
is.
Obvious.
It's so obvious.
If you've never...
Or if it wasn't written that way, then John Hamm was just trying to do that himself and communicate it that way.
We would be so lucky in Boston if there was some white trash hot chick like that. Nope. No. There is no Blake Lively, who, by the way, getting canceled.
I saw that.
Apparently, she's like Ellen DeGeneres when she does interviews. And one time she said tranny, which you're not allowed to say.
Yeah, wasn't the interview a while ago?
It was. But guess what? You say anything ever, you're effed.
Yeah, I just think there should be like a statute of limitation for canceling. Like, if you don't catch it in the moment, it's hard to go backwards.
Man, you sound just like that Galveston serial killer guy. He thought there was a statute of limitations, too.
Did you watch part 2? What's in Joe's path?
Did you watch part 2?
I haven't watched either of them. I just know that the guy confessed while
idiot
taking a leak.
Biggest idiot move I've ever seen. I can't believe they caught him on, like, he...
Maybe he wanted to get caught.
I don't think so. I don't think that was his plan. But just to confess to killing people while you're on a hot mic, stupid.
Yeah, man.
Very not intelligent thing to do.
It happens.
Oh, yeah?
Things like this happen.
Yeah, another example.
Tom Brenneman.
From the 281.
Happy anniversary to Tom.
Yeah. That's why I was pressured.
Oh, yesterday was the anniversary?
Yeah. I just saw that.
How many years was it?
Was that like...
It was 2020.
Yeah.
So he made it. Four years is how long you stay canceled.
Yeah.
Good now to know.
You know. Now you do. ACC football on the CW.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, that might be a step up from Reds baseball.
That's, you know what? Touche.
He might get to call some Katie Ledecky swimming as well.
Yeah, but they get the CW gets like the worst ACC football games. Like it's all gonna be like West Virginia.
They don't get the pick of the West Virginia's not in the ACC.
Oh, you're right.
We should do a pop quiz. Who's
in the ACC?
No, but you know, you might get Syracuse, North Carolina State. Mm-hmm. It's a good matchup.
Syracuse, Stanford. Isn't Stanford in the ACC now?
Yeah, you might get Cal, SMU.
Mm.
Rivalry.
That's Cal.
That's an ACC matchup.
I like it. Because nothing embodies the culture of the ACC like. $30,000 millionaires who somehow got into SMU in Dallas and raging libs from Berkeley on the West Coast. One identity as a conference.
How can you not love a conference that has a team in Dallas, Boston, almost Miami, and in Berkeley?
Well, why don't they bring back Conference USA? Why do they have to stay the ACC?
They still have Conference USA.
USA still exists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who the hell is in that now?
Sam Houston? Is it a Conference USA team now?
Yeah. Okay. Who's in the Sun Belt now?
That's like down here.
Coastal Carolina, Georgia State.
Marshall.
Oh, Marshall's only in the Sun Belt? All right. Yeah.
Texas State. Who's being predicted to make the college football playoff this year?
Arkansas State, I think.
How about the MAC? Who's in the MAC now?
Untouched by realignment.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Because Maction lives forever. Yeah. You know, like there's nothing like
that's why.
That's real degenerate gambling right there. It's Tuesday night Maction.
It's totally not because the Big Ten's like, we're good on Michigan schools. We're good.
How many directional Michigan schools are there? There's a Eastern,
mm-hmm. Central.
There's mm-hmm. a Western. No Southern.
Mm-hmm.
No Northern.
So there's three in Michigan State.
I bet you there is. We just don't know about them. Like they're not. Like,
oh yeah, they're probably like an Upper Peninsula one.
Yeah, they're probably like D2 schools.
Yeah,
it would have been funny if we got that with Texas because Texas State used to be Southwestern Texas State, and they were like, "Hey, everyone's an alcoholic here and doing lines off of their books. Let's change the name of this school to Texas State because people will forget that the people of San Marcos." Are part of a party school where everyone just has a grand old time at all moments possible. But we never I don't think there's a Northwestern Texas State or a Northeastern Texas State or a South Texas or right? Oh wait, there is a Texas Southern.
There's Texas Southern. There used to be Texas Western.
That's true, UTEP.
Yeah.
Texas El Paso. They won a national title. Hell yeah.
Glory Road.
This is riveting.
That was the movie.
Glory Road, you're right.
I don't remember if it was good or not.
I don't either. All right, guys. King of Georgia says it wasn't Southwestern Texas State. Well, I can't read, okay? I went to Texas State. Boom, roasted. I'm just kidding. I love the Texas State people. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. Up next, we are 16 days away from the start of the NFL season, meaning one, we have to remember one of the best plays in NFL history. Two, we have to remember one of the best sideline interviews in NFL history. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby. And
the countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
16 days away from the start of the NFL season. The best number 16 in NFL history is Joe Montana. And this is the most iconic moment of Joe Montana's career. 3rd and 3 against the Dallas Cowboys with Vin Scully on the call.
3rd and 3. We'll see a pick of some kind on the right side possibly.
Montana looking, throwing in the end zone.
Vin Scully let that bad boy breathe. The Cowboys won that game 28-27, January 10th, 1982, at Candlestick Park.
It's still weird hearing Vin do other sports, even though I know he did before, but I'm just so used to him only doing baseball. Will Patrick Mahomes pass Joe Montana, do you think?
What do you mean?
Second best quarterback of all time? Because Tom's number one, Joe's number two.
It is interesting that Joe is considered the number two quarterback of all time.
I think it's because of Super Bowl success, right?
Yeah, it is based off of Super Bowl success. I mean, yeah, Mahomes is very close.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, how old is Mahomes? Is he even 28?
Ooh, that's, it's got to be like at least 28.
I think he turns 29 this year.
Okay.
I think.
Goodness gracious. Not even 30 yet.
I still have an issue with the ketchup steak thing, but whatever. So be it.
Some people have strange choices in their diet. Also, number 16. The reason that the NFL exists, if we're being perfectly honest, because he... You know what? What am I doing? Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. I'm never going to say it. I don't know why I thought this person had the number that I thought he did.
We'll do this on Monday.
We'll do it on that.
We got excited.
I don't know why I thought it. This is one of those. This is one of those mornings where I woke up and I was like, "Huh, number 12 is like number 16." Oh, yeah. For some reason, I thought Joe Namath. Okay. I thought Joe Namath was number 16 for some reason.
That's a tease for next week.
That will be. That's gonna be Saturday. So we're not gonna be on the air.
Oh, do you want to play it?
Who's play it?
Here's Joe Namath being drunk.
Yeah, who wore number?
Paul 12? Was number. Paul was drunk when he thought Joe Namath was wearing number 12 in his career. Here is Joe Namath, not number 16, number 12, hidden on Susie Colbert.
I believe everything that anyone else has watched Chad play impresses me. The same thing impresses them.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling. I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe. I'll take that as a huge compliment.
Yeah, you know
Joe Namath, part of the four-decade team.
Susie's a pro. Susie Colbert for transitioning out of that.
Yeah, I give her credit for... Because even trying to like stop the interview right away, and just he would be more upset, or he would get upset. But she's a pro's pro. Very funny. That video is very funny to watch.
I remember seeing that live because it was a Patriots-Jets game.
Are you talking about Chad Pennington?
Monday Night Football. This was. I just remember watching that game and seeing it happen. We saw it happen live and we were like, wait a second, what?
Struggling.
This was before the internet where you could react to it right away. All right. Tua Tagovailoa, starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, was on the Dan Le Batard show. Brian Flores, who used to be his head coach and was canned, I guess not the best person to work for, based off of what Tua had to say.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. You are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. How would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it. You hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad. And you hear it more and more. You start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening.
Terrible person.
Because this is different than hard. This sounds different than hard coaching. This is you suck. Because I saw a bunch of the aggregator accounts yesterday try to take a Tom Brady quote out of context from when he was on Pat McAfee's show. And he talked about hard coaching. And they tried to say it was about Tua, which it was not. But
or
this,
about Brian Flores.
About Brian Flores, which it was not. But this is not hard coaching. Like, this is someone who's just being a D, it sounds like.
From the sound of things, for what it's worth, Kevin O'Connell on Brian Flores, who is now with the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin O'Connell said of his defensive coordinator, "I don't particularly have a comment on something that took place with another team, but I can tell you I know that the players that Flo works with, he's got great relationships here." Degrees of separation from Brian Flores. There is a world where if Brian Flores doesn't sue the NFL and name the Houston Texans in the lawsuit against the NFL, where the Texans might have hired Josh McCown as their head coach instead of hiring Lovie Smith. Who knows what happens that season with Josh McCown running the show? Who knows if Jack Easterby is still around? Who knows if Hannah McNair gets a little bit more hands-on with the organization? Who knows if they would have CJ Stroud? Who knows if they would add the new uniforms? There are so many what-ifs. And Brian Flores is somebody that you probably should thank as a Houston Texans fan for naming the Texans in that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Because, look, I don't know what Josh McCown's ultimately ever going to do as a coach, but it felt like he was very unqualified to potentially be the next head coach of them. I would say that hiring Lovie Smith, not exactly the best move as it was.
So. But they probably don't bail on Josh McCown the way they bailed on Lovie.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, even though he got fired, less than a full season into his coaching career, to be fair. McCown did.
McCown, yeah, you're right.
He got fired during the season last year.
He was with the
Carolina
Panthers. Yeah. There was a thought that Josh McCown, because I guess he had a fun handshake with C.J. Stroud, that the Panthers wanted C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, there was the conversation about playing basketball.
Right.
When he gets to
That's
Carolina.
What I'm talking about, yeah.
And he's not in coaching now, so I'm so – thank you, Brian Flores.
Thank you, Brian Flores.
Thank you, because that would have been tough. I don't think we'd be here today doing
tip of the hat
CJ Stroud and could he win a Super Bowl one day content.
Yeah, look at you. You're wearing a CJ Stroud Battle Red jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you guys even be wearing the hat that you guys are wearing?
No.
Nope. No, we wouldn't.
We are matching hats.
No, I would have showered and done my hair.
It is
up.
Adorable.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled.
Now
about
I feel
it.
Left out that I'm not wearing.
I don't want us to have the same hat on.
You can take yours off.
No, I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. I'm bald.
I didn't shower.
This is.
I'm going bald.
What a standoff.
I didn't shower.
No, you take your hat off.
You take your hat off. I didn't shower.
Maybe we'll have. I'll see if we have free hats somewhere. One of us.
Oh, yeah. I think there's still some in the bullpen.
Maybe.
I feel like this is the first time in a while that I've seen you not wearing a free t-shirt.
I didn't wear a free t-shirt yesterday.
You didn't?
Nope.
What was it?
Astros t-shirt.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I wear them like once or twice a week. I know. I'm aware. I understand.
Listen, I'm not hating. I just noticed.
I acknowledge. I don't deny. Free stuff is better. If it's free, it's for me.
Yeah, I've spent so much money on clothes. Sports clothes.
I just can't anymore.
And I barely wear it. I have them all hanging up. No, it's honestly pointless. I remember my aunt was helping me move out when I was moving to Seattle. And she was like, what is wrong with you? Why do you have so many clothes? And I was like, damn. At least she didn't call me gay. But hey, I'll leave that for you guys.
Have you done like the where you decide to donate them or... When you moved, did you do that?
I actually have sold most of my Seattle stuff on eBay.
Oh, nice
But
move.
Like for $7.
Okay.
And then I go to Walmart to go get an envelope, and it takes me like 3 hours to get out of Walmart, even if I do self-checkout, because Walmart is hell on earth.
Yeah, it's the worst.
This advertisement was brought to you by Walmart. We are hell on earth and want you to hate yourself and your life.
And there's always Walmart, weird people there.
Always smiling. Most we did drugs before we got on the clock. All right. Speaking of things that you got to buy, up next, let's talk about things in sports that have gotten too expensive. I am blown away by how expensive it'll be for you to watch your favorite team if they are not the Houston Texans in the NFL this year. You'll find out. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. So, I've only had NFL Sunday ticket once in my life. It was part of my agreeing to move with my mom to Florida. When my family broke up when I was just 14, I wanted the ability to watch the New England Patriots if I was going to live in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay.
So my mom and I made a deal where if I did all of the household chores, mowing the lawn, changing the pool filters, et cetera, I would get to have NFL Sunday ticket in this back house that we had in the place that we moved to in Florida. So I don't know what it cost. I know it was probably fairly expensive. I had no idea, though, that NFL Sunday ticket has gotten to this point. Via John Orrand, the out-of-market game package for NFL Sunday ticket is $679.99 for the full year. When packaged with Red Zone, it costs $739.99. Now, I'll be honest. I don't know what it cost last year And this might be just a result of NFL Sunday Ticket breaking away from DirecTV. But I felt like with DirecTV, it was about $300. I could be wrong on that.
No, I think you're right. I think
that
last
is insane.
Last year, I thought it was under $400.
That's what I thought as well.
So this says, oh yeah, okay. So here's last year. Last year, full price was $349 for the season, but you had to also have YouTube TV.
Gotcha.
So that's an extra $75 on top of that. So
okay.
And I guess DirecTV would have been the same, right? Like you would have had to have DirecTV and then get Sunday Ticket on top of it. I've also only had it once, and I didn't pay for it. Because I had Sunday Ticket for a year, or I had DirecTV for a year, but the weather here sucks in Houston. So the TV will go out all the time. And then when I went to cancel, they were like, hey, we'll keep you for a year. We notice you don't have a Houston area zip code on your phone number or whatever area code. We'll throw in Sunday Ticket for a year. And then I canceled and have never gone back. It's a huge waste of money, honestly.
You think so?
You can find streamings. I've watched every Bears preseason game this year.
I hate
paying for it.
I hate watching it through the streaming apps because I don't trust them and I feel like it's going to F up my network security and all that stuff.
That's fair.
I was raised by a security software salesman, my dad. So I am by nature paranoid of all of these streaming links.
Yeah, you're probably right. I probably not making
sports,
a wise decision, honestly.
I stay away from it. I would love to. I would certainly be saving a lot of money. Fubo TV is an absolute scam. So it would be nice.
It's a total waste of money. I mean, so you have this lawsuit that
$739 a year if you have it with Red Zone via the Apple App Store. And if it's that through YouTube TV, I highly encourage you, if you're somebody who is getting NFL Sunday Ticket, do YouTube TV. You're a crazy person if you're getting it through the Apple App Store. That's insane.
Yeah, maybe that's a separate fee than what it is through YouTube TV. I'm hoping.
It might be. I think there's a 30% fee for anything that it sells in the store, but I can't believe Apple is charging that much.
Yeah.
For NFL Sunday Ticket.
It's just not it's really hard. Now, look, they're trying. I give them credit for what they're doing with Sunday Ticket for the first time. I was watching something today from Front Office Sports where last year if you had it, you could have four games on at once. They're now letting you customize those games. Before it was like a preset of four games. But YouTube TV is doing that with college football as well, where last year you could have A&M, UT, and two other games on. Now you're able to pick and choose. For Sunday Ticket, they're also allowing you to sync your fantasy football team.
Mm.
So you can have like real-time stats and choosing games of like your main players are in on TV. So they're
crazy.
Trying to do some creative things with it.
Okay.
But it's still way too expensive. And they still...
People still buy it, though. That's what's crazy.
It is.
That's really the craziest part of all of it. You will get a lot of people who will actually sign up for this.
It looks like YouTube TV or Sunday Ticket through YouTube TV.
Cheaper.
It's $349
Correct.
A season.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying it's about half.
Still, though.
It's still a lot of money.
How many things have increased in price the same way that this has? And obviously everything's more expensive these days, but this is to the point where, especially since the Patriots sucked out, where I'm like, oh, hard pass on NFL Sunday Ticket.
Since
Joe does nefarious things to watch his Bears.
Yeah, because even like if you're watching, you know, like Netflix is going up, right? We all know that, but it's not going up like this.
It's going up again?
I think
I know there's commercials now, and I'm like, I didn't ask for this, but I'm not paying any extra for it.
Yeah. You know, the hard part about it is like if you're specifically watching for one team and they're a good team, like talk about, like let's say you're listening out of Houston and you want to get it. Well, the hard part is that you're not even getting all your games because they play on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
where you don't need Sunday Ticket. They have two games that will air on Peacock. Multiple games that will air on Peacock, it looks like. The Bears game, the Lions game, and the Chiefs game will all air on Peacock.
Wait, what? Oh, for the Texans?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's NBC.
All the NBC stuff is on Peacock.
So, like, you don't even need Sunday Ticket for those three. So, that's four games. You don't need it when they play the Dallas Cowboys because it's on ESPN. That's five games. And you don't need it. You need Prime Video when they play the Jets. So, six of the games this year, you don't even need Sunday Ticket if you're trying to watch the Texans outside of Houston. It's just, it makes that price even less beneficial because, yes, you can use that same platform for all of it, but it just seems like a giant waste.
I hate that the NFL is still married to the idea of network TV, and I suppose somebody has to be married to the network TV channels, but this is done so that the vast amount of money that these networks are paying to play NFL games is worth it for them so that the local games are still on. But I mean, you should be able to watch what you want. And I mean, this is the only way that you can do it. There's a monopoly on it. No competition, of course, is going to drive the prices up, but it's a lot. I think a lot of people, especially if you see the App Store price, you're definitely walking away from that. If you want to do it through YouTube TV, you can. But it is a bummer just how expensive it has gotten to watch sporting events. As a texter correctly points out, I mean, you may as well get season tickets if you're gonna pay for NFL Sunday ticket. Yeah. I mean, half a season worth of tickets is probably cheaper than what Apple TV or what the App Store is charging for Sunday ticket.
Yeah, and I think the most annoying part is because like not everything's uniform. I really liked YouTube TV when I had it last year. And I would just kind of find a workaround to watch Astros games. But then I was at this point where I was like, I'm not watching Astros games in the way I should. So I bailed on YouTube TV because you can't get the Space City Home Network on there. So it's like, if everything was available on every platform, maybe I would feel differently. But like the fact that you can't have Sunday Ticket and Fubo to watch the Astros and Sunday Ticket without paying for both of them, it's just stupid. Like the original idea, like a la carte, was a good idea. We've gone way too far. We have jumped the shark.
I've heard there's a way to do a la carte legally with the Astros where you get MLB.TV and a VPN. But
yeah.
For all I know, they have found a way to stop that.
That's also pretty – that's legal, but that's also – you're getting into the nefarious waters a little bit by doing that.
Yeah. I mean, we still have people who call in and ask what time the game's on. So a lot of those people can't use VPN.
We don't get those calls. Or at least I don't get those calls.
Yeah. I used to get them daily in the 3 to 6 hours, whether it's here or the other place.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Don't, if you're listening to this, don't start calling again.
Yeah, please don't.
I don't know the answer. I assume seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still see people tweeting what it's really one person. So I don't want to generalize everyone.
You don't? Why not?
Because I still see people.
I see a person still tweeting every day asking what channel the game's on. And it's on the same channel every single day.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I love Lamont, but he tweets it every single day, and I don't understand.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, you going to get that?
Hello.
Joe, what time is the Astros game tonight?
7:10.
What channel is that?
What network do you have?
I don't know. What channel is it?
I don't know. If you have Xfinity, it's 6:39.
You work at a sports station. How do you not know what the channel
goodbye.
Is on?
It's 7 o'clock.
Damn, man. You're picking up. Picking up the phone in the middle of a show?
Yeah, you know, just gotta, you know, when I see Paul Gallant's calling me, answer.
It's so annoying. I remember I used to run the board over at the flagship every now and then, and yeah, you would get a call, and I would generally say Google, and I got yelled at once because I said Google.
Same. Someone complained about me.
It's like, oh, you didn't tell me what to do.
I'm like, I'm sorry, you're 80 years old, and like, you can't read the TV guide anymore. Why am I getting yelled at for this?
That's funny, but that's sad mean. Hey, they can't control their eyesight.
Okay. No one under the age of 60 calls the radio station and asks what channel the Astros game is on or what time it's on.
I was looking at the TV guide and it doesn't say what time the Astros are playing. What's this Apple TV, Joe George? What is this right here?
The worst.
Sherry, can you make the game start a little earlier so that I can actually stay up and watch it? At 7:10 every night is when I put my dentures in before I go to bed.
I think my favorite, though, is always when people call in and they don't want to go on the air, but they're asking for, like, in-depth, like, rule explanations.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Like, why did Yiner Diaz get struck out last night? And you're just like, I don't have time for this.
I should call Sean right now. Hey, could you explain lowercase w, uppercase rc plus?
Weighted runs created plus.
Whoa! Oh,
he at least knows what it
is. I'm forgetting what you said. I don't ever want to know what that means. That's Sean behind the glass, Joe to my right. It's Kalana, George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, We're going to talk a little Houston Texans with DJ Bien-Aimé about everything that went down over the course of the last week. Preseason game number 3. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.